So this is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. And last Sunday at the beginning of worship, we heard those Beatitudes of blessed are. And from there, Jesus has indicated who have been blessed to what we are to be. We are to be salt and we are to be light. And as I was talking to Bethany and the other children who are joining us about salt, when Leo and I were first married, I salted everything. Not only did I salt it, I used MSG and you name it. I think I had so much salt in my food, you couldn't taste the flavor of the food. And when I got pregnant with Wes, doctor said I had to stop using salt. So this is 5-6 years later. So I stopped using salt. And I said, honey, I hope you don't mind. I'm not going to use salt anymore. And he goes, I never liked my food salted. 6 years. He ate salted food because he loves me. Anyway, salt enhances the flavor of our food. I love when we get ready to cook a nice steak, those of you who are steak lovers, and you put a little bit of salt on it and you let it rest for a while, how the salt just brings out the flavor of the meat. What Christ is asking us to do, what Jesus is asking us to do, is to be that kind of salt in our world, in our community. To enhance the flavor, to enhance the goodness of the people who come into our circles. Because what I often tell people, we know what sins we're doing. We can put ourselves down faster than we can raise ourselves up. We are called to tell people of the wonder of who they are, those beloved things that are within them. We be the salt in their life. But salt has another quality, which I alluded to with those icy New Hampshire roads. Another cooking metaphor. One of my wedding gifts was a beautiful copper frying pan. I mean, it was one of those Paul Revere's all copper on the back, and it cooks, it fries so beautifully because the copper makes all of that heat nice and even. And I cooked with that and cooked with that and cooked with that until you looked at the back of the pan. It wasn't so pretty. It wasn't so shiny anymore. So then I looked up, how do you fix this? And I found out salt and apple cider vinegar will shine it right back up. So my pan became salted and shiny. Well, the other thing that Jesus asks of us is that as salt in people's lives, as we form that relationship with them, as they get to know who we are, and we get to know who they are, we can then be salt in their life and say, you know, maybe you shouldn't, and you ... because it depends on who we're talking to. But we are called not only to proclaim Christ to their lives, but also to help them discern how they too can be salt, how they too can be light. Salt isn't always that which enhances. It's also that which helps us remove the dirt and the grime and the grease from our own lives. So one of the first places we might need to be salted is in our own hearts. But as we engage in the community, because he's speaking here to those, especially to his disciples, that this is their job, that their job is to be salt and light in the world, not just to themselves and not just into their insulated community. You need to be salt and you need to be light to the world. So we need to salt the world with that which is good. Have you ever met that person? Have you ever met the one who always smiles, who always has something good to say, who always encourages you along the way? And don't you just want to be in their company? Don't you just want to be in their company? You don't want to be in the company of the one who always has that critical word or that critical eye or that critical look. How many of you had this look growing up? Over your glasses? That was my mom's look. We knew we were in trouble if this happened. We want to live in a world where not only are we lifted up, but the one who lifts us up gently and lovingly says, you know, when you do this, I feel like that. So that they can they can, through God's help, can be changed. It's not ours to change them. It's ours to love them, ours to be salt in their lives. They need to know that sometimes when we're salt, we enhance their flavor, and sometimes we need to put a little shine on their hearts and on their souls. But Jesus also asks us to be light. And he talks about, you know, a city built on a hill can't be hid. And that if you put your light, why would we put our light in a bushel? He says, put it on a lampstand so that it can shine and shine for the world, that they can see our good works. So that light Jesus is talking about is the light from within. When we were gathered with Awakenings, I was talking about the fact that if you ever go to the city and you try to see the night sky, you know, this is on a clear night, not on a cloudy night. On a clear night, full moon, you know, everything is brilliant out here. But if you're in the city, you see something gray. The brightest stars might come through, but might not. But when we come out here in the country with all that light that pollutes in the city gone, I don't know how many saw the full moon this weekend, but it was absolutely gorgeous. Well, think about our light in the world. We're called to be Christ's light in the world. We're not called to be the light of the world as the world knows it. We're called to be the light in the world as God knows it and shines in our lives. The world can be like the bushel basket that covers up our light, because we get so involved in those things of the world that we forget that God's light needs to shine. But we're to shine to others again. We are to be able to live a life that reflects the light and love of Christ. Last week, not only did we look at the Beatitudes at the beginning of worship, but our sermon text was from Micah. To do justice, to love mercy, and to act humbly, and to walk humbly with our God. That when we are doing that, we are lit from within with the light of Christ. So then Jesus goes on to talk about the law and the prophets. Because there's a lot of talk these days about whether or not we follow the law of the Old Testament or we follow the law of Christ. And is the law of Christ also the law of the Old Testament? And it can get you confused really fast. And Jesus says he is not there to abolish any part of that law, but to fulfill it. Which means for us who are followers of Jesus Christ, that how we look into the laws of the Old Testament, the laws and the prophets, we look through it through the love and lens of Christ Jesus. So those laws and those prophets are speaking of God's love for and God's desire for us to love God, and for God's desire that we love the world as God loves the world. If we are following that love light, then we are following the law and the prophets. What he complains about is the Pharisees and the scribes who have come to that place where they love the law more than they love God. So they are following the laws because that's what they think brings them into the kingdom of heaven, not because of how God has loved them and given these as their boundary list, as their way of ordering their lives as followers of God. We are followers of Jesus Christ who died on the cross that we might have life and have it abundantly, who died so that we might live, who told us to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love our enemies. But it always began with to love God. In fact, can't remember which gospel, but one of the gospels says that the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. It is through that lens that we see the laws in the Old Testament. So what he's asking us is not to allow the traditions that we call church, to allow denominations that we call church, to allow anything that we call church to have more precedent than God's love for us and God's love for the world. that what we do within that which we call the body of Christ should be that which focuses us on God and us on the world, so that the world sees the light that is on this hill, that the world experiences the salt of God's love through us. So we are asked, can we be salted and shiny? Are we willing to feel that abrasive rub against our own souls where we have allowed the world to gum up our shiny? And are we ready to shine forth into the world the love of God's life? The last words in this morning's text, make sure I get to the right last word. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't bad people. It's just their love was misplaced. Ready to get scrubbed? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.